Don't forget our pregame show on Sunday. It'll be at Rock Bottom Brewery as the Titans host the Chiefs. Pregame show of Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. That'll be from 9:30 until 11:30 in the morning. Once again, at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway. Prior to the kickoff, Titans and Chiefs, our pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Yeah.
With that being said, let's head to KC. Let's bring in Jed Marshall. Covers the Chiefs for Sports Radio 810 there in Kansas City. Jed, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Just ready for this big matchup. Looking forward to this on Sunday. I mean, coming off the heels of a great Monday Night Football game and win over the Bills, and everybody here wants to know, can you follow that up against another great team? I mean, yeah, there's really no weeks off in the NFL, but and when you got Bills, Chiefs, that is like the poster child for there's no weeks off in the NFL. I guess let's just start with the health of the Chiefs. You know, Chris Jones is a guy that they depend on defense. Is there a chance he's going to be back in the mix? Where are they with some key guys on whether they're going to be available or not on Sunday?
So we're getting ready to hear from Andy Reid in about 30 minutes, and he will give us the rundown on that. So Chris Jones, I don't really expect to play, but we'll know more in about 30 minutes. As far as the rest of the guys, they're pretty banged up. I mean, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill have been playing through some injuries. Those are obviously two of the big weapons on the offensive side. We just mentioned Chris Jones. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are it's like you said, in the NFL, no team's healthy. There's no easy week. So, I mean, you can't really look at the injuries and say that they're in any worse shape than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah, true statement there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know, is on IR. But, like, overall to this point, he's a guy that everybody, you know, is geeked about. You've heard all the comparisons. I've heard everybody, you know, he's the next Brian Westbrook, all these comparisons. To this point, what would you say they have? Have they been okay, disappointed, happy? Like, his progress to this point – as a pro running back, how would you assess if you were giving him a letter grade? What would you give him?
I would give him a C because they used a first-round pick on him. I think that you can find the type of production that you get from Clyde Edwards-Helaire a lot later. You're seeing with Daryl Williams the fact that he's been putting up comparable numbers, and he, you know, was an undrafted guy. So I think when you're looking at running backs around the league, you saw it last night in Thursday Night Football, the guy from the Browns, I mean, he's an undrafted guy as well, was trying to get into the AAF, and he had a big night. So I think running backs, you can find them wherever you need to and plug a guy in. So I think the reason why people are more disappointed with Edwards-Helaire is mainly because of, one, you alluded to the hype that was coming out and the fact that when he was at LSU, you saw so much shiftiness and ability to make big plays and be productive in the pass game. And he really hasn't done that here in Kansas City. So I think people have been disappointed, but I think people are also realistic to know that in Andy Reid's offense, he's trying to get the ball downfield. Patrick Mahomes is guilty of it as well. He's had opportunities to get Edwards-Helaire more involved in the passing game, and he hasn't really taken that outlet. So there are a lot of things that have gone into why Edwards-Helaire has been a little bit less productive than I think people have thought coming out of LSU.
How concerned is Andy Reid and this staff about, and the players? I'm sure you guys talk about it or ask them the questions. I mean, they're giving the ball away at an alarming rate. Got more turnovers than anybody. Mahomes is throwing a lot of interceptions. They're also coughing up the football. I know there's a long season still to go, but how concerned are they to this point with how much they've turned the ball over?
It's definitely concerning because it's something that you haven't seen from Patrick Mahomes in his young career. So, to that point, I do think it's correctable in the sense that Patrick Mahomes, with the body of evidence that we have to this point, has not been a guy who's really prone to turnovers. But he does put the ball in harm's way a lot. You know, he's willing to take chances. So I think that you're just kind of seeing the evening out, where maybe in seasons past he's had the term is interceptable passes that weren't picked off and the guys have dropped. This year the ball's just bouncing the other way, and I think that because of Mahomes' ability to try and go for the big play and go over the top, he's just going to be a guy who's always in that area, and it's just kind of the way the ball bounces as whether his interception total goes up as his career progresses.
We're talking to Jed Marshall, 810 in Kansas City, talking some Chiefs as they come to town this weekend. A story that we've followed since training camp, obviously with his connection to the University of Tennessee, has been Trey Smith, who has become the starting right guard for this team. I mean, we knew there was a lot of potential there when he was at UT, had some health issues that he had to work through, but it seems like he's fitted nicely on that offensive line.
Yeah, he's been a real, real great pickup for the Chiefs. I mean, I know that the health concerns are what made him fall to later rounds in the draft, but for him to come in and be one of the start, I mean, the interior of the Chiefs offensive line is definitely the strength with, as you mentioned, Smith from Tennessee and Creed Humphreys from University of Oklahoma. But yeah, I mean, he's been the steal of the draft in my mind to get the kind of production you're getting in the sixth-round pick. He's unbelievable. We love him.
Okay, Jed, so give me the scouting report because, you know, Darren brought up Travis Kelce. I need to pass this along to the Titans secondary. How can you stop him? How can you slow him down? Is it possible? When you look at him, it just seems like year after year he gets better and harder to stop.
I don't really think you can stop Travis Kelce. A lot of teams have tried a lot of different ways. He's just one of those guys who's going to get his. You've actually seen teams have more success trying to limit Tyreek Hill. He's also a guy who, when he blows up, he has a huge game, but there are games where he's a little bit quieter. But regardless of how much people focus on Travis Kelce, I don't really feel like there is a way to stop him. I mean, he's as you mentioned, the best tight end in football, and you could put Waller in that category, you could put Kittle in that category, Andrews in Baltimore, but I still think Travis Kelce is the best, and maybe I'm sitting looking through it with red and yellow sunglasses on, but yeah, I don't really think that the Titans are going to have much of an answer for him.
Okay, so let's play this game, because we were talking about this the other day with in comparison to the other tight ends in the league, and then, you know, got into the kind of the sports talk conversation, the all-time list, because now here in Nashville, when you go all-time Titans and you say running back, forever it was, yeah, Eddie George. That's the easy answer. Well, Derrick Henry has clearly made it more of a conversation, and I lean towards going Derrick Henry. If you're going tight end, Chiefs all-time, is it Tony Gonzalez still, or is it Travis Kelce?
Wow. That's a tough question, because I do think Tony G is the greatest of all time. But if you're just talking about what an average Chiefs fan would say, I think they would say it's Travis Kelce. One, because it seems like he's going to play his whole career in Kansas City. Two, he brought them, was part of a championship team. And three, he just has a better personality than Tony G. Tony really liked him some Tony G, I'll put it that way.
So I'm curious, over in Kansas City, with all of the expectations and some of the adversity they're facing here, how does the fan base react? It's always fascinating to me when the bar is so high. I'm just curious how everybody is dealing with that.
So when the Chiefs were sitting at 2-3, you would have thought the sky was falling and that this team was never going to win a football game again. People were livid. They had no idea why Dan Sorensen was playing, why Juan Thornhill wasn't out there, why isn't Willie Gay and Nick Bolton getting more reps, and why is Ben Neiman out there? He's a great stat that our friends from Pro Football Focus gave us. He's never gotten his hand on a football in pass coverage. Why is he playing? So it's just the way that fans are. They're always going to be overreactionary, and I think when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's just routine to think that, well, we have 15, he's going to come back and he's our, you know, the knight in shining armor. He's going to save the day. And unfortunately, that's not the case when you put your team in bad positions by turning over the ball. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just one man. It turns out he doesn't walk on water. So fans were really upset. I think once they got the win over football team and had the big second half, that really calmed the waters. People saw that the Chiefs were getting back to normal. I know football team isn't a very good football team, but nevertheless, the Chiefs were able to put them away, and I think that really alleviated a lot of concerns.
So if you had to pick a concern for the long term, maybe not from the fan base, because as you're right, the fans can get a little wacky with this type, but based on what you see, like because we talked a lot this week about the fact that they're turning the ball over. I tend to think it's more of those they're much more likely to stop turning it over a lot rather than keep turning it over at the rate that they have been. But tell me what your biggest concern is.
My biggest concern is the fact that this team is unwilling to or unable to ever get any pressure on any quarterback at any point. I mean, they're paying Chris Jones a lot of money. He wanted to move to the outside. He's not a very good football player on the outside. He needs to go back to the interior. Jaron Reed, a guy who I heard a lot of people hype up, you wouldn't even know he's on the team. The fact that this team routinely gives guys 7-8 seconds back in the pocket, you aren't going to be able to have, even if you have Deion Sanders and the greatest safeties and corners out there, they're not going to be able to cover for that long. So until the Chiefs find a way to get pressure on the quarterback and Steve Spagnuolo is willing to adjust his scheme, that's going to be my biggest concern, and it's something that doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Well, that's the something's got to give point, isn't it? Because the Titans have had all kinds of trouble protecting Tannehill. He's been sacked 20 times, and that's been probably the biggest concern on the Titans' end. So that'll be something to watch.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, that you're going to see Ryan Tannehill and the Titans' offensive line have a good day, because it's been astounding. Like I said, I mean, Chris Jones is, as I mentioned, he's a great guy and a good man in the community. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to run the guy down, but it doesn't make sense for him to try and go to the outside. He already got his big contract. It's like he already has his eyes on his second one, and he realizes that defensive ends get paid more than defensive tackles. So I think that if you do make that one move, your defense gets a lot better. Your defensive pass rush gets a lot better, because Chris Jones has shown that he can create havoc in the middle. He doesn't do so much on the outside.
Well, Jed, it's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. Appreciate the time today, and I'll talk to you guys here in just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk to you here around 2:25, Chase.
Yep, sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, boys, take care.
Jed Marshall, 810 in Kansas City, talking Chiefs as they come to town this Sunday. We'll have a little bit more on that game coming up next, but Pick 6 also coming up at 1 as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.